Hi, podcast listeners. It's Doug here, and we wanted to share a short film series with you. It's made by the filmmaker team of Tyler Meesom and Diana Witten. Tyler is one of the directors of the Netflix documentary series Murder Among the Mormons. It's about the story of Mark Hoffman and the pipe bombs he set off in 1985 to cover up his forgeries. And this series is about something else completely. It's actually a partnership between Tyler and Diana and the dance company Ballet West. Ballet West gave them access to the company's studios and facilities for 1 month while they prepared the first public performances during the COVID pandemic. So this was going to be a performance with two different pieces. So you had two different choreographers, different groups of dancers, and in the background, there's this staff of people designing and building sets and creating costumes, and there's lighting and technical support and marketing and ticketing. I mean, it's an undertaking. And this is all playing out in a time when COVID cases were spiking in the state. And the company directors were never really sure if they were going to be able to pull this off or if the county would even let them. There are 9 parts to the series. It's called In the Balance, Ballet for a Lost Year. You can find it on our website, radiowest.org. We'll put a link to it there. We asked Tyler and Diana to join us and talk about the film, but also their own challenges shooting this because, as Diana told us, it's not just about the intricate logistics of bringing a performance to the stage.
In more abstract terms, it's about the artistic process and how artists have a real need to take pain and grief and process it into beauty. And how the world needs artists to do that in order to find meaning in our collective pain and grief.
What interested you about, I guess I wanted to get a sense of your reaction to the opportunity now to sort of embed yourself in this company and find out how people were reacting to the challenges of a pandemic, how they were proposing to go on stage if they were, to rehearse, how they could do it. Like, what was the opportunity that you saw being able to sort of see for yourselves or document as filmmakers?
Whenever we as an audience member watch, let's just say a ballet or a play, we're watching the actors on the stage. What we don't see is the multitude of people and planning and time and effort and energy and passion that goes beyond that hour and a half or 2 hours or whatever it may be that they're actually viewing. And so as documentarians, we really wanted to show that full run of the gamut, just to see that there is a team, multiple teams of people that are behind this performance. And we filmed every one of them. We essentially embedded ourselves in the Ballet West company for a month. And we filmed the crew and the ticket agency and the staff and the choreographers and the dancers and the people who sew the costumes and the people who put up the lights and the people who take care of the shoes. And we just wanted to show this big, wide swath of individuals that it took to put on this show in the midst of a global pandemic where at any moment a bug could come in and shut the entire thing down. And so immediately there was this beauty of seeing this thing unfold, but the ever-present fear that at any moment it could be pulled away from all of us.
One of the dancers says, "Are we sure we should be doing this?" I'm guessing that question came up a bit.
Yeah. It came up not only while we were filming from many of the dancers, but it came up for us. I mean, we had a crew that was, you know, there. Mm-hmm. And we knew the weight of just one more person coming in that could ruin this for everyone. So, yeah, it was a constant for us. But ultimately, that's part of the theme of the film itself is, do we need to do this? Mm-hmm. Do we need to create a ballet performance? Is someone who dances on stage essential during this period? And are we as documentarians essential to record this moment? So it was a constant battle for us and them. And I think it aligned.
Do you think you answered that question? Do we need to do this? And more broad, it's kind of a beautiful question as it relates to art. Like, Let's set aside art for a while because we can't get together in performance halls and we can't dance close or whatever it is. We can't go out and film things. Let's set it aside. Do we need to do this? I guess the question is art essential? And that does come up in the film as well.
I think the question, yeah, as well as are artists essential and the economy of artists.
Yeah.
But moreover, the what art in all its forms means during this period. And I think more than ever, yes, we needed an escape. We needed to get away from the news. And whether that's watching Netflix or listening to music or reading poetry or watching ballet, our soul needed that just for a moment. And so we were able to do that. And what we didn't have during this is the live performance, that connection with the audience, with the performer. Sure, we can watch TV, we can watch old movies, but we didn't have live music. We didn't have concerts. We didn't have art galleries that we could go to and discuss art. And we didn't have as much ballet performances. So I think that was important and essential to, to commune as people with the arts.
I think what the arts does, what art does is it gives meaning, right? You have analysis and you have, political answers and strategies and all these ways of coping with very complicated experiences. But art takes it to a nonlinear place that can attach meaning to something that otherwise just feels like loss.
Did the dancers get annoyed that you were following them around? In the sense that not just that you were following them around, but that they had to wear masks all the time while in these rehearsal halls, while dancing, while trying to, it seemed to me difficult to breathe enough when it's an incredibly athletic performance. So I just wonder, did they get perturbed by having you following them around?
If they were annoyed by us, they didn't let us know. They were very accommodating and excited, it seems, to have us there. In terms of the masks, I think that all of them would say it took a little bit of time to get used to it, to get used to just breathing with them on and having them on all day.
Dancers, and we discussed this a bit in the series, dancers are extraordinary. They are unique creatures. I mean, obviously, they're incredibly good at what they do. And these ballet dancers are some of the best in the country, if not some of the best in the world. And they're very self-conscious of themselves and how they perform. And us being there, we initially were there and we tried to keep a low profile. But essentially, eventually, after a few days, we became part of them. We were on the dance floor with them. We were learning their moves so that we could photograph it and film it. We became, part of this one group that was putting this show on. They opened up themselves to us. They became vulnerable and they opened us up. They let us into their homes and into their private moments and their quiet moments. And it was beautiful to watch this and to see them and to be a part of it.
Tell us about Jennifer Archibald. And I should mention that the series of films, they are not just the broad story of a dance company trying to put together a performance in the middle of a pandemic, but it's also you focus very intimately on particular couples and particular people. Jennifer Archibald is one of them. And she mentions what you just said, Tyler, the idea of it being about vulnerability. Tell us about her and the story you told with her.
Well, it's interesting to think of the two choreographers as opposed to each other. Niccolò Fante really appreciated the boundaries that he was given in terms of working with the security boundaries and the couples and the masks. I think he found a lot of creative freedom given those boundaries. But Jennifer Archibald really spoke to the opposite of that. She didn't feel as free given those new rules. And, also she had to fly from New York a few times. She's based in New York, so she had to fly to Salt Lake a couple times, which was an added layer of stress to travel during the pandemic. And she didn't see her piece as an entire piece until, was it the day before the show?
It was a couple of days before the show.
And the reason for that is because only a finite number of dancers were allowed to be in the studios at a time. So because her dance involved so many dancers, they rehearsed in pods.
Wow.
And the pods didn't come together until tech night. So here she was premiering a piece for an entire audience, not knowing if it was actually working yet. So that was stressful for her too. But the dancers adore her, and her choreographic process is really collaborative, which is something I didn't understand about choreography until we did this job, this project. But she really works with the dancers. She has an idea and she sees what they bring to it. And I think from what I understand, from what the dancers told us, they really love that process.
She gets really emotional when she finally sees it come together. It seems like such a relief, right?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful moment. And it's a moment of stress for everyone, but you feel her stress in creating this art. And I think you see it a lot in general, and these individuals working so hard. I don't think I knew how difficult it was to put on a show like this, how much they rehearsed, how many times they went over the same routine, the same moments, and not just in the studio, but these dancers would literally take their work home and rehearse in the living room. And they'd put on this show for what was a very, very diminished audience. They had 30% capacity. And while they sold out the shows, a lot of people still didn't show up. They'd buy the tickets. So it also begs this question of how important is it to make something great when only a few people will see it?
Which for me brings us back to artistic process.
Yeah.
I think a lot of these dancers, you know, I relate to them in this. Like I think a lot of artists feel like they need to make something. They need to be making something in order to process their emotions. And I think that that's why this story is really about that process and not necessarily about results, you know, destination, audience. Mm.
There wasn't just a pandemic happening. There was also in this country a racial reckoning happening. And Catlin Addison is featured. She was just recently promoted to principal artist for the for Ballet West, first Black principal dancer in the company's history. Talk a little bit about your focus on her and the fact that it's almost as if that moment in the film took us out of the pandemic and took us into the question of an artist of color relating to a community.
Initially, we wanted this piece to just be a time capsule, a moment in time that everyone in the world experienced in many ways. We were dealing with not only the pandemic, as you said, but also the election and also this racial, this race riots going on throughout the country. And it was encompassed in these dancers and their anxiety. Mm. And Kat was this amazing and still is this amazing dancer who put so much time and beauty into her art. And it's evident in everything she does. She just emanates this excellence in her craft. And she carries the burden of being a rare Black dancer. And that is quite an issue in today's world of the lack of color in dance. And we're seeing this shift, and it's part of our film, because for so long, African-American dancers had to wear white tights.
Yeah.
And so they're literally dressing up in some ways as a white dancer. But now we're seeing that shift. And there's a moment in the film where Kat is being fitted for tights that match her skin tone, which they never had to do before. And it's another part of this progression of being a dancer and an artist in today's world.
You talk about that anxiety, and I was thinking about what was the date of the performance? Because the kind of tension that's going on was remarkable. They're all checking their phones for election results. Like, the stakes seemed really high. I mean, there was a lot going on.
Yeah, Tech Night is notorious, for anyone familiar with theater or dance of any kind, for being the night that everything goes wrong. And that was the election night.
Yeah.
So I think tensions were very high, and there was, just a lot of apprehension. And I also think that all of us that were there, both dancers, I can't speak for, you know, everyone, but I know for us, we were so happy to have something else to think about for a little while and something that felt proactive and could get us through the evening until we eventually had some positive news.
So there were these spikes going on in Utah, COVID spikes that were going on. They would sort of come and go and come and go. How close to not having a performance was Ballet West because of the pandemic?
it was continually on everyone's mind. We were dealing with this during what was, for the most part, one of the worst spikes in the state of Utah. And we're not dealing with three or four or five people. This was literally hundreds of individuals getting together. And getting
socially
together
distanced.
And socially distanced and masked and being very careful. You know, our film could have turned out very differently. Mm-hmm. It could have been, well, we're done. Everyone go home. And I think that pressure, you could feel it from the dancers. Because, I mean, and a few of them mentioned this, Chase and Beck Ann, who are, you know, the top dancers at Ballet West and renowned internationally dancers. They just want to dance and their life is dance. They are, and you see it in the film. That's all they talk about. That's all they think about. That's all they plan for. You know, when they're sitting down, they're dancing. When they're in the hall, they're dancing. It's just mm-hmm. their life. And you take that away from somebody, you take that away from someone whose whole life has been dancing. And what do? When they can't even do it, when they can't perform in front of individuals. So that gravitas was ever present in their life. And we hope to kind of, you know, capture it as we did.
And for other dancers, you know, some of the other dancers aren't from the States. They can only work at Ballet West. So when Tyler mentioned the economy of dance, that was something that, you know, we hadn't really thought too much about. But if they're not dancing, they're not getting paid and they can't work anywhere else. So there's a reality there in terms of being able to feed yourself and pay your rent that, you know, when it came to the risk analysis of being there or not, they needed to be there one way or another.
Yeah. Adam Skloot, artistic director for Ballet West, says in the film, "What else are we supposed to do?"
Yeah.
Which I thought was such a kind of perfect way to put it. Like, we're dancers. This is what we do. But also, we need to make a living. We're dancers. What else are we supposed to do? I thought it was such a sort of all-encompassing thing to say.
Yeah, and dancers, if they don't dance for several months, you know, they need to stay in shape. They're dancers. They need to keep that practice going. And it is really hard to do a lot of the things they were doing in the studio in a small living room.
I think a lot of us felt that. What else are we supposed to do? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't, for sure. If you're a waiter, you know, what else am I supposed to do during this period? What else am I supposed to do? I run a movie theater. I make movies. I deliver pizza, whatever it may be. What else am I supposed to do right now? And I think a lot of people had these concepts early in the pandemic. What am I going to do? And then they just wanted to do what they do best, you know? Mm-hmm. And for dancers, that was, well, dance.
Yeah. I love the moments where we were in, like, we weren't seeing movement and dancing. We were seeing people who were trying to stage this thing, talking about what are we going to do? And the real serious, you know, the really serious conversations, as you said, just sort of the day to day, like, all right, how are we going to make sure they're safe? How are we going to do this? How should we react to that? Like, that was a really important part of the film, just seeing behind the scenes how they were trying to process all of that.
You mean the logistics?
The logistics,
I
really liked those scenes. I thought they were great.
Yeah, I mean, even down to, you know, how they seated people in the audience and where people could sit and how they could communicate to the audience how important it was to stay in your seat that you were assigned. And, you know, especially since there's no consensus among the audience in terms of, you know, everyone had their own safety threshold for the past year.
Yeah.
So trying to set the rules for a big room like that, it's utter challenge logistically.
One of the episodes, episode 6, we call it the dance of the building. And we just cut back and forth between the dancers upstairs and the people sewing the costumes downstairs. But one element that was striking for me and hit home in some ways are these guys who were setting the lights and, you know, putting up the lights in the dance floor. And there are these burly union dudes, big, fat, heavy guys coming in. And the one lead carpenter says these guys haven't worked in months because these are the guys that put on shows. These are the guys that build the stage for concerts, for plays, for ballets, for operas. And there was none of that. Mm-hmm. So these guys were working one day and in filming them, you could see it. So I'm getting a little choked up, but like, I love to work. I need to work. And these guys just want to work. And for 1 or 2 days, they could do it. And to see how happy they were. And I could imagine them going home after sitting on their couch for a month or two and not doing anything to go home and say, I made a buck, honey. I made some money. So, you know, kudos to Ballet West for giving people work and helping them do what they do.
What did you finally learn about artists and the idea of returning to normalcy? Not speculating about when we'll all be able to gather again together, but the idea of what's this going to do to the experience of encountering art, you know, to seeing live performances. Like, how is this experience of a pandemic, this year and more off, what's that going, how is that going to change things? Did you have any insights about that during this process?
Well, I watched the performance from the second story wings. So I was by myself, you know, on the side watching it, and it was a really moving experience for me. A lot of the people in the film call it escape into the performance. And for me, I guess it was an escape, but it also felt very, very grounding. And I think it relates to the quote at the end of our series where Fonte says, we're here, we're live. You know, we're in front of you performing, we're live, we're here. And I think that there is an element of presence, you know, of watching something that is life in front of you, playing out in a moving, beautiful way that serves as a metaphor for something we've collectively experienced. So I would think that coming back to live performances will be moving for a lot of people for maybe similar reasons. You know, this idea of having collectively survived something and being able to celebrate it and portray it in ways that we can relate to, because we've all had this common experience. And people will be turning it into so much art. I mean, there's already so much art coming out of it, and so many people have something to process from this past year. Something to alchemize.
Diana, Tyler, thank you and congratulations. It's terrific.
Thank you, Doug.
That's Diana Whitten and Tyler Meesom. Their film company is called Skyscape Studios. There are 9 parts to the series. It's called In the Balance, Ballet for a Lost Year. You can find it on the Radio West Films website at radiowest.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Doug Fabrizio.